Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 29th, 29th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, simple country therapist and quote master, Luke
Yeah, I'm
Quimby.
Feeling really simple this morning.
Good. Well, I'm more worried about the quote at this point. Then we'll worry about you
quotes.
In a moment.
I always do foundation stuff. Don't worry about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You want it?
Well, give us a foundation then.
Oh, you want the quote?
Yeah.
A stitch in time saves nine.
What?
Whatever you want. Nine watts. Right. A stitch in time saves nine. Whatever you're stitching up saves you nine more.
Oh, I see. It's an investment plan.
Oh.
Do you do it one time and then you don't have to do it nine, the subsequent nine?
No, it has to do with planning.
Oh, like for the show?
Yes.
You
plan ahead and you don't have major disasters. You may get a little rip in a fabric somewhere, but you stitch it and then it doesn't get worse. So that has to do with life planning, relationships, raising children, having a job,
reading quotes,
doing a radio show,
finding good quotes,
getting well. Yes.
Well, I would think that that's almost a polar opposite of large segments of the American society that want instantaneous.
Yeah, I want it now. I want it easy.
Cheap and quality.
What is it? Fast, good, and cheap. Pick two. That's the industrial thing. Fast, cheap,
right.
And
right.
Pick two. Most people do the fast, and the trouble with the fast is there's not much discipline to that with a knowledge base. I'm big on knowledge bases, knowing what you're doing.
Experience?
And what the effect. Well, my old pappy used to say, good judgment comes from heaven, bad judgment, if it don't kill you.
it's that asterisk at the end that's the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So experience is useful if people make advantage of it. Then, like in parenting, for example, parents have experiences that they understand the nature of the consequences and they've overcome it some. So they want to teach their children, don't do that. A simple thing is don't touch that pretty red coil on the stove. Okay, that's just a burnt fingertip. So then parents teach kids what they know, and then kids go out and they learn stuff the parents don't know. And part of that's generational, just different strokes for different folks. Based upon times are changing. After World War II, there was a lot of social change going on that kids had to deal with, their parents never did have to deal with. So it's interesting. Guys, one of the things that cracks me up is the guys came back from World War II to the GI program, and then Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were filled with GIs.
Uh-oh. It's 8:19.
There goes the neighborhood.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby.
So I was talking about the World War II vets who come back on the GI Bill and go to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, which traditionally before that time had been the finishing schools for young men in society, for business, law, that sort of thing. And then they meet and Mary, and then it's a
peers.
Peers. Yeah. It's the girls' schools and the boys' schools, blah blah, and then the social strata is maintained. The good old boys' schools, right? Well, GIs went to school, and they weren't there for that. They were Iowa farmers, et cetera, and they went there to get an education, which they did. And then they went out and they kicked butt and made business, and then things changed. And it was interesting because they didn't care about highfalutin social stuff. They wanted education. They wanted the ticket, the bachelor, the master's, and they got it. I remember a guy when I was a kid came back from Korea, and he had a wife and three children. And he was going to school at the same time as he had a night job at the service station and taking care of wife and family. And I didn't know how to put words to it then, but he was burning with the desire to achieve and get ahead and do better than his family had done. Now, there are times when kids cannot do better than what their parents have done. And that's usually the way it works, is the parents want their children to have better, more education, more opportunity, better business, better health. But that isn't always possible now.
Why now? I mean, you talk to a lot of folks, and opportunities, certainly with all the technology, things have opened up, levels have opened up that didn't exist before. Why?
Well, job.
Why not?
Job opportunities are one of them.
Well, if you're looking for employment versus doing it yourself.
So there are lots of kids with bachelors and some with masters who cannot find employment. So they go to school and they get this huge albatross or this millstone around their neck of 60, 80 grand of 100 grand of student debt. And there's no practical way for them to pay that off with any efficiency. You get 100 grand worth of student debt and you get married and have kids. Well, now what?
That would be planning, right?
Well, that would be planning. So there's national policy things involved in this stuff, too. Jobs, for one.
But education was expensive at Harvard and Yale post-World War II. Did the GI Bill cover?
Oh, yeah, GI Bill covered.
Okay.
Right. Not 100% of anything, but they got in. They got in. They could not. Before World War II, Iowa farm boy could apply, but he doesn't have the social credentials, so they didn't get in, right? So opportunities change, and then people have to deal with the change. And some changes are more efficacious than others.
Well, I think of, I mean, you're going down that trail, and I remember, that's almost moving into urban legend now, when I went to school.
You're not that old.
That folks from my class were going to those titled schools.
Yeah.
Women's studies. Philosophy.
Yeah.
Poetry. all these things that had such practical application. And then they lament not being able to get a job in their major or to pay off their student loan.
Right. Let's get a job in social studies. Wow.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it might not have been...
Choice?
Interesting that majors in these areas qualify for these kinds of loans purely because of reduced risk. If you're going to be a molecular biologist, I bet you the marketplace is open for those folks to find a job that's in their area of expertise.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going to be a philosophy major, probably more challenging to get a job in my career.
Yeah.
Okay. So why should both be teed up the same way?
Oh, I don't know. They should.
I've never heard the thing, you know, that the student loan is ever predicated on. What's your major?
Do you
anticipate your major to be?
Yeah, no.
Likelihood of payback.
I have no evidence that that's ever true. Right. Kids apply for a loan. If they can get it, they go to school. So, after the Depression, before World War II, everybody was hungry for stability. And after World War II, we've had such a long period of stability, relatively speaking, of course. Then comes the new wars. Korea, Nam, Middle East. But we wax philosophical for no good reason. What are we doing here?
Yeah, we're going to a commercial break, of course.
Oh, jolly good.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back all waxed up with Lou Quimby.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting.
Redek and CDH Painting?
Yeah.
Oh, good people, CDH.
You know Dwayne?
No, I know the work.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't want to get too close to a guy flipping paint around.
No, unless you're wearing dungarees.
Yeah. and one of the white hats.
Yeah, that's right. And a beard cover.
We've talked a little bit in the past, Lou, about entitlement. Where does this sense come from? I mean, we're talking about how society and the educational demands have changed.
Yeah.
By the students.
Well, I work on the frequently on the extreme end of that. And they're called DO-DO and DUE-DO, do-me-do-me. They're golden boys and golden girls.
The cheerleader
and
captain of the football team concept?
No, too late, early on in childhood. And everything is done for them. So when they grow up, they think they are due it. So do me, do me, D-O-E, do to me. So some people grow up with the idea that certain things are due to them. We were talking earlier about Harvard, Yale, and Princeton graduates who had the expectation that privilege was due to them. So they would marry well, and then they'd get a law degree, and then the family, his family, her family, our family, friends' family, Harvard family, would get them a job in a firm, and then there they are. They got a big job in a big firm, or a little job in a big firm, which turns into a medium job and then into a big job of social status, class, and economic opportunity. Right? And a farm boy from Iowa doesn't have that access. Okay, well, that has to do with then the GI Bill. They go after it. They got the energy and the commitment. But if you're raised as a child where everything is done for you and everything is available to you, you grow up with an expectation that it's due to you. It's automatic. You don't even particularly think about it. The Rockefeller children were raised on a allowance. And they had to save some, spend some, and give some away. And so they were raised that way as a value system and as a procedural stuff. So when they grow up, now they save some, spend some, give some away. And what they give away has got 3 or 4 or 5 zeros at the end of it. It isn't 10 cents or a nickel or a dime or a quarter anymore. It's tens of millions sometimes. But they have the habit in their head of that what they owe to society is to give away a part of what they've earned. Not everybody does that. So,
well, the concept of tithing is kind of rooted in that somewhere.
It is.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of entitlement, the do-me person is a big one. Then there's little entitlements. And they're interesting little twists in the mind. So if you loved me, you'd know what I want. If you loved me, I wouldn't have to tell you. Now, interestingly enough, that can come from extremely early experience that's got nothing to do with good parenting or bad parenting. Mothers learn their children's needs. They learn their schedule, when they need to feed, when they poop, when they need to be changed. And so mothers frequently anticipate what needs to be done, and they'll get the bottle ready or the breast ready.
Prepare. Yeah.
Before the kid throws a conniption fit. Well, the child may experience this magically as, I'm hungry. Oh, look, there's mom with the bottle. She knows what I need. No, that isn't, not everybody does that. Some people just grow out of that as they learn to talk, and mother teaches them to ask for what they want. But there are some people that it still hangs on, and they expect their needs to be met without them having to do anything or say anything or make things happen. So there's little ways like that. If you respected me, you would never blah, blah, blah.
Not economic driven at all, more behavioral?
More behavioral and having to do with affection and belonging. And then if those things are not clear verbally, then kids go into control struggles. So control struggles are one of the first primary signs of problems in relationship. Control struggles, people don't ask with clarity for what they want. So there's lots of, you know, like a traditional, an old-fashioned traditional marriage. She stays home with the children, he brings home the bacon. Well, what happens when that tradition begins to soften and she goes to college, learns some things, wants to start a side business on her own, and she's out until 7 o'clock at night running her business, making decent money, by the way. Well, what's he going to do? Learn to cook, feed the kids, hire a nanny? So there's some disruption there when he expects to come home to have the kids ready for bed and a hot meal on the table, and all of a sudden, hey, I didn't get married for this. There's an awful lot of, I didn't marry you for this, surprises. I married you for better or for worse, but.
Not this bad.
not for lunch. Well, the guy that retires and he's home for 30 days and his wife says, I married you for better or for worse, not for lunch. Find something to do. That happens to a lot of guys when they retire, because for 30 years, the woman of the house has had a life of her own during the day because he works during the day. So she's got her own rhythms and her own lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, he's around all the time. And she goes, get away from me. I'm having my own life here. And people don't think about that ahead of time.
That's one of the surprises.
That's one of the surprises for a lot of people.
Or the lack of planning.
The lack of planning.
To keep it in the theme of the show.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We planned this break.
We did.
We planned to return.
We did.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's planning. Kind of tough to planning.
Describe. I guess the
planning for the anticipated is pretty easy.
That's right.
Planning for the unanticipated can be earth-shaking.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
How do you mollify one and loosen up the other one?
We can't predict the Cascadia Falls tsunami.
And KUKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Yeah, we get a 40-foot tsunami here in Eureka.
Floods.
It's going to flood a lot of Eureka.
Yeah.
We cannot anticipate.
But you can plan for it.
Well, you can.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yeah. Right. So you do the best you can about that sort of stuff. And when emergency comes, then all bets are off except for the emergency planning. FEMA was grossly inadequate when it came to New Orleans, among other things, right? Okay. So that kind of big federal planning has to do with the will at the top. The head of the FEMA organization is a political appointee. Duh. There are no qualifications necessary, except maybe give a lot of money or
have a relationship.
Campaign or have a relationship or my wife's third cousin, blah, 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 right? So that kind of problematic competence is rife in politics, in power plays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, scale that down to relationship, family. Where does competence come from? One of my favorite fathers had a third grade education.
Wait a minute. How many fathers did you have to have a favorite and a non-favorite?
Oh, I got hundreds and hundreds.
Oh, okay. Good.
Been doing this 50 years. One of my favorite fathers had a third grade education, and he was neither proud nor ashamed of it. He knew what he had. And his son was bringing home things like trigonometry. Dad said, "Son, I have no idea about this stuff, but what I will do and what I know how to do is find somebody who can help you with it." So he found somebody who can help him with it. And the kid said, "Thanks, Dad." But Dad did know how to play ball with the kid, sit down on the floor and play Monopoly with him, ride him like a pony on his back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But he wasn't ashamed about what he didn't know, what he couldn't do. So his son then grew up to be strong and brave about knowing the difference between what he does know, doesn't know, what he can do, can't do. And that's a gift that gets passed on generation to generation. And that's profoundly significant. Whether you pass on your skills about how to use power tools or not, it may be nice, but it's not profoundly significant.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
And there goes January. See you on Monday.